With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
Well, hey, I've been continuing to read through this great new book that I have found, and I want to share with you. And in this chapter here that I'm reading, it's talking about our desperate need in America. And if you're not in America, you're watching from somewhere else, likely you have the exact same need that we do here in the United States of America for revival. We desperately need revival because we're watching corruption and decay dismantle our nation. And we could take 10 minutes here and just begin to document all of the ways in which the fabric of our nation is falling apart, but there's probably nothing that is more obvious than the breakdown of the family. Think about this. I mean, just the family alone, which is made up of moms and dads and children. This is the primary institution that God has created to bring his kingdom of heaven to earth through the family. That's the first institution that God made. Not the church, not government, but the family. And before family, you've got marriage. But today, we have far fewer adults who are married than who are avoiding marriage or unmarried or who have just chosen not to get married. When I was born back in 1970, there were more people, adults, who were married than unmarried. And it's moving in the opposite direction, and it has been for decades. Think about the fact that today there are 40 to 50% of children who are, according to statistics that I've been reading, children who are born outside of a marriage, who don't have the privilege of being born into a family with a mom and with a dad. In fact, listen to some of these statistics, that over 40% are born outside of marriage, and for the African American community, it's over 70% of children who are born outside of a marriage, and kids who are growing up without a father, and the consequences of that are absolutely devastating, because as goes the family, there goes the nation. Why? Because the family is the building block of the nation. It's like me. The cells in my body are the building blocks of my lungs and my heart and my liver and my eyes and my ears and my brain. If the cells are decaying, that's like cancer to my body, and my organs will begin to fail and I will eventually expire. If I have healthy cells, the building blocks of every part of my body, then my body will be healthy. And it's the same with our nation. The family is the cell. It's the building block that builds the nation. And if the family's decaying, and it has been for decades and decades, the nation will expire. And one of the primary reasons that the family is decaying is because there is such a strong and powerful anti-God, secular, relativistic, immoral government school system that is hijacking the minds and the hearts of our children. And the worst part about it is that we can't blame them for that. We have to look in the mirror because we're the ones who send them there. Now, I know I'm speaking in strong terms. I went to public school. It's not really public school, right? We don't all vote on the textbooks that are going to be used in our public schools. These are schools where government decides these kinds of things, and more those decisions are being pushed to the federal level, to where their government teaching camps. And I don't know about you, but I look at to the government and I don't see bastions of deep biblical faith and morality and character to the point where I want them to be exporting their principles into my children's hearts and minds. No, I don't. And yet we give our children to these institutions that actually disciple and indoctrinate them into their values and their worldview. If you don't like what's going on in politics, why are you sending your kids to government schools? I know that I'm speaking in strong terms, but we need to think about this because we are in difficult days. And if we want to know what the problem is, how the family has been decaying for decades, we have to take an honest look at the reason. Think about this. 75% of kids who are raised within the family of faith, by the time they graduate high school in a public school, they will walk away from their faith. 75%. And of those who maintain their faith after high school graduation and go on to secular colleges, mainstream colleges, 75% of them will lose their faith by the time they graduate college. And this even affects the family of faith who send their kids to Christian colleges. 50% of those kids who still have their faith in college will lose it by the time they graduate a Christian college. Why? Because even the ungodly, unbiblical, immoral principles have infected our churches and our faith-based schools. And this has all happened on our watch. This is difficult to hear. I understand that. But when we consider that 85% of Christian children attend government schools, government education classes, that's what they are, is it any wonder that the family is falling apart? And people aren't valuing marriage. And more people are bailing on their spouse and allowing their children to be raised by the government rather than stepping up and being fathers and mothers. As goes the family, there goes the nation. If we want to know why the nation is falling apart, understand that the nation falling apart is a fruit problem. That's the fruit. But if you want to figure out why the fruit is rotten, you got to look to the root, and the root is family. The family is breaking apart. And I love this in this book. Listen to this. The family is God's chief instrument of dominion. God has a chief instrument for dominion. What do you think of that word dominion? Now, it's not domination, different word. Dominion is is the exercising of government and applying principles over a domain. That's dominion. I do that in my backyard. I have dominion over my grass. I mow it. I have dominion over that fire pit right there and over the wood that's inside of it. And I exercise the principles of that God has entrusted to me. I make a fire so that it provides light and warmth so you and I can get together tonight. I have dominion over my house. I have dominion over the things that God has given me so that I can take the mandates from heaven, the principles of truth, the things that bring blessing and liberty and prosperity to my family, and I apply them to the domain that God has given me. That's called dominion. Make sense? Domination is some evil, wicked thing where people look to take control of other people. No, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And so when Jesus takes dominion over things, he's implementing his loving, compassionate, others-focused service to bring heaven to those people and to those places. That's godly dominion. And the Bible says that God has chosen the family to be his primary instrument of dominion, of bringing heaven to earth. It is God's children are arrows or weapons that God gives to the family to prepare to shoot into the culture and the future. Isn't that awesome to think about that? The Bible says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full. A quiver is a satchel full of arrows. And if you know anything about archery, and if you've got a bow, you've got something that holds your arrows. And a man who's, or a woman who's got a house full of children is incredibly blessed. And those arrows are to be shot into the culture and into the future to go further than you and I can go as parents. We're the archer. We're shooting them into the future, and their purpose is to bring heaven to earth. Their purpose is to transform society. Some of us just have a small goals for our kids. We want them to be happy, of course. Or we want them to know God, of course. But that's just the beginning. The purpose of children in a family is like arrows for them to be shot into the future to bring more of heaven to earth by their character, by the way that they look at the world and serve other people and love others the way that they want to be loved and bring honor and glory to God. That's the function of family, one of the main functions of family. If the family is faulty, the fulfillment of the mission wanes, and the nation will suffer. You know what that tells me? That the most important people on planet Earth are you, Mom, and you, Dad. The most prestigious position and the most influential teaching pedestal is a mom and a dad sitting at the kitchen table with their kids or their grandkids. More important than the president, more important than Congress, more important than school teachers, more important than spiritual leaders, more important than the military, more important than politicians, more important than the media, more influential than big business, big tech, and big medicine. Moms and dads who form the foundation of a family, teaching our children, shooting them into the future, into the culture to bring heaven to earth. There are no perfect parents, and I'm certainly not a perfect parent, but I was convicted by this as I woke up early this morning and I was reading through the book of Proverbs, and I called my son and I said, you know what, son? I want you to know that I see the good in you. I want you to know that I see the good that God is doing in you. And I know what your goals are. And your goals are noble. And as you continue to walk in covenant with God, in faithfulness to the God who made you and has blessed you and is sustaining you, you will find victory. You will be successful in kingdom terms as you continue to walk in covenant with God. And I want you to know that I'm in your corner. I've got your back. I love you. I'm proud of you. And I'm praying for you. You're going to make a difference in this world. Giving our kids that kind of blessing is indispensable. Nobody can give it to your kids like you can. And if our kids don't find it from us, they'll find it in a gang. They'll find the blessing from somebody less qualified than you to give it to them. Because they want to know that they're valued. They want to know that they're important. They want to know that they are here for a reason, that their life has purpose. And that they're not an accident or unwanted or unrecognized. I also felt convicted. I'm just sharing this with you as examples. Like I said, there's no perfect parents and there's no perfect husbands and no perfect wives. But I wanted to make sure that I intentionally let my wife know today that I love her with all of my heart. I reminded her of that. And my son said in one of his social media posts, hey, my girlfriend, she's awesome. She's so great. I found the greatest woman. And I said, to him as I texted back to our entire family in a group chat, no, the greatest woman, I'm sorry, she was taken 30 years ago. Mom. And he's like, oh, she's great too. I thought, no, she's not great too. I texted back, she's not great too. Mom defines the word great. In fact, if you look up great woman in the dictionary, you will find a picture of my wife. She's awesome. She is a blessing. She's a treasure. She's priceless. Who can compare to her? But I'm happy for you, son. I'm praying for you. I hope you find someone that begins to approach the greatness of your mom. And again, I just say this to say the family is God's primary instrument of bringing heaven to earth. And we need to build one another up. We need to affirm and appreciate our children. And we need to lean into our marriages, understanding that you can't be a better Christian than you are a mom. You can't be a better Christian than you are a dad. You can't be a better Christian than you are a husband or a wife. And there are no perfect parents or spouses. But we can't separate our devotion to our family from our devotion to God. We're a whole person. And if God has put us into a family, we must demonstrate our loyalty to God and our devotion to God and actually live out our professed faith by loving our family and caring for them first and most. And when we fail at that, we get on our knees and we ask God for forgiveness. And we continue to ask God for the strength to help us to turn away from our selfishness and do the right thing and do it quickly. I felt convicted about that today, and that's why I said those things to my son and to my wife. And I hope that you'll spend some time examining your own heart and taking these things to God in prayer as well, so that we can find God's hope and his healing in our family. And when the family is healthy, then the building blocks of a new day for the nation are ready. When God sends his tidal wave of his spirit and sends revival to our country, will we as his family of faith be ready for it? I want to focus on gathering together and praying. If you know more people who should join us at this campfire revival, would you please invite them? I also want us to think about deepening our faith and our character. That is what's required for our nation to be revived and turned around. Our founders told it to us. It's been proven in history. And God's word says, without faith and without virtue, all is lost. And I want to help you with that. And thirdly, I want to equip and encourage you to teach others what you've been learning here. And to that end, I've made a 10-week video course with a leader's guide, with discussion questions and videos where Marshall Foster, the author of American Covenant, and I are doing the heavy lifting for you. And your job is to just invite your neighbors, invite your friends, get around a campfire or a fireplace in your living room or candles on your coffee table and just talk about these things. Now's the time for us to stand up and speak up and to be the people that God's created us to be. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit kirkcameron.com.